Now time to turn our attention to money matters and family. Joining me on the line is a certified financial planner and managing partner at Sugar Creek Wealth. That's Gerald Mwandiambira. Gerald, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Morning and morning to all your listeners.
I'm going to ask you a rather personal and difficult question. How do you navigate talking about money around this festive season with your family?
Look, money is always an uncomfortable topic to discuss with anyone at any time. But I think in terms of the discussion this year, it's a bit easier, I think. One of the unintended consequences of the COVID-19 pandemic is that money is now freely discussed and top of mind for everyone. And I think this year it's easier to talk about money because everyone has felt the impact of the lockdown and the pandemic in one way or the other. And for others, it's been even worse. They've lost jobs or have had reduced income. So the conversation started this year is easy. You simply have to discuss the year that has been. But under normal circumstances, yes, money is an uncomfortable topic, but it's nevertheless something you should discuss if possible, especially around family gatherings, because most family gatherings do involve some sort of money outlay when you meet up.
Massive sometimes, because often there'll be a slaughtering of something or the other, whether because you're observing a custom or ritual or because, you know what, there are enough of us, let's buy a live sheep and slaughter it so that we can buy it on Christmas Day. There'll often be that. And of course, alongside that, copious amounts of alcohol, which costs an arm and a leg.
Well, that is true. And I think, you know, often we all assume everyone can do it. And I think I'm going to a family function, and one of the things which comes through in the family group is that everybody's spending X amount. But no one has really asked each other, can everyone afford X amount, you know? And these are some of the pressures you'll immediately go under when you're participating with family at the festive period, because no one actually asks, can you afford it? You know, everyone assumes, okay, we're all going to spend 300 on this family event. And as you said, it either goes to the food or the alcohol or whatever is needed by the group. Now, we need to take the reverse of this mentality of saying, instead of asking the group what to do or what they should spend, rather have a discussion prior to that around each person's financial situation and their knowledge, and better still, plan ahead for these events and maybe have a family stock fell or savings group where through the year you save a minimal amount so that at this time of the year you don't have those sudden surprises, because for many family members they're almost pressured into spending money they don't have for the sake of keeping face.
I cannot stress how important that is, because many people often rely on a bonus being paid out in December to help, I suppose, with the financial pressures of often traveling from a city center like Cape Town, Joburg or Pretoria to wherever your home is and family will be gathering. That in itself is costly, not only because of the slaughtering and the drinking, but the transport costs, right, of getting there. And people who were told this year that they're not getting a bonus in December were unbelievably heartbroken, because they realized, oh my word, we have not saved enough to obviously allow us to embark on a trip to the Eastern Cape, for example, this December.
Well, definitely. I think, you know, I'd put a feather in the cap of somebody who actually has turned down the offer to go home. I know a lot of people who have declined to travel because they've looked at their finances and have actually made that conscious decision they can't make that trip. But yes, under normal circumstances, it's better for you to plan for December 2021 in December 2020, so that at least you do not have to rely on the bonus. And the bonus, as you know, also you would have planned around it with children's school fees and the start of a new year. Many people have already been paid, and it's another 40 days before they get paid again. So it's the longest month of the year, and the last thing you need is unexpected financial pressures. So the conversations we should be having as families is, how can we lessen the burden? Because the one thing we do learn is that the group does lighten the burden. So the same reason why you put money together as a family is to buy food. You can have money together to help each other in tough economic times. Have an emergency fund where people in the family can draw the odd amount here and there to help themselves and assist themselves. Or you can even have an anonymous fund where people just do deposit money, and you know, you allow everyone to contribute according to their means, because that's another pressure you don't want. Once you put numbers, people get shy and they don't want to contribute. But sometimes have it an anonymous contribution so that everyone contributes according to their ability, and that way you start demystifying finances and also realizing the power of the group. Another thing you can do during the festive period is have that conversation around money with your children and the younger family members, so that they too understand that money does not come out of a wall or a plastic card, that it's actually money earned and saved that is actually being returned. So, you know, we need to go back to basics, getting our children back into doing basic chores and earning minimal amounts of money so they realize how to earn and save money. And that's how we all grew up, whereas the children of today won't do anything for a rand or 2 rand. They probably think it's too little money, but they don't realize the value of accumulated 1 rands and 2 rands.
And I'd love to know how many piggy banks, as we used to call them back in the day, exist. Yes, I know that there are banking facilities that you can open now for young children, and it's important to expose them to that facility as much as possible. But the practice of, you know what, I've earned 50 cents, I've you know, been gifted 2 rand or whatever the case may be, let me save that. And then back in the, you know, later on in the year, I can either treat myself to something or use it for something else. And I'm looking forward, Gerald, to a day when we have this conversation and that family saving, if you like, will be for investment as opposed to let's have a good time in December. Talking about that, is this a good time to start talking about 2021 and the financial expectations on those in the family who have a good job and are perceived to be well off, who often are taking up, you know, the responsibilities of education for their nephews and nieces, the healthcare of their parents and so forth and so forth. We generally refer to it as a black tax. This is the time to really talk about what you are able to do. And most importantly, what you're not able to do and what you won't do, so that there isn't an expectation that Africa is going to be taking Gerald's child to that very good school through school next year when Africa can't afford it next year.
Well, I think the key word in your whole introduction was perceived. Everyone is perceived to be doing well because Africa, we hear him every day on the radio in the morning. He must be doing well, you know. He drives a big car. So those are some of the things we need to demystify. There should be no perceptions. You should put a value towards how much you can contribute. And also, people's circumstances have significantly changed. So someone who could have done it last year, next year it might be an absolute no-no because of an adjustment in the financial situation, a lost job or reduced income. And I think it's time that we actually stopped having perceptions around money, but actually talk around the actualities of what we can do. And yes, even on those little piggy banks, we need to start working with our children. And I was actually heartbroken reading the other day that a child had saved something like 135 rand in coins.
I did read
and they
that,
went
yeah.
in, and they went into the bank and deposited it, and the bank charged them 80 rand for depositing coins. And it's some of those things which we take for granted, you know, the coins. How do you then deposit them? So, but have an understanding as to how the whole process works. And you're right in terms of saying, when do we start talking about 2021? Now. And I think, you know, the best way to plan for 2021 is to expect it to be the same or worse than 2020. Then at least you are prepared for the worst case scenario, because I know we all want to be hopeful and optimistic that everything will return back to normal, but we're still readjusting to the new normal, and so we still might need to tighten our belts even more, because the new normal is people simply working at home. And, you know, a lot of companies are also paying people less for working at home, and people are accepting less money for the privilege of having work, because now it's a situation of, do I take less or do I have no job?
My favorite thing to do, Gerald, because I often work through December, right? I generally take leave when I'm going to travel somewhere. And traveling during December within South Africa just doesn't make sense because everybody's on the roads. So Africa works. People then assume because I've been working, I've saved money because I haven't spent money, which is often true. They go ahead and spend money. This is family and friends, by the way. Come January, when schools reopen and school fees have to be paid, new uniforms has to be bought and all of that, who they come to? Me. And I've learned the wonderful joy of saying, no, thank you, Gerald. You know, when you were buying those six packs ahead of Christmas and New Year's, perhaps you should have thought about setting some money aside for your child. I mean, my heart breaks for the child because ultimately education is the most important thing, at least in my life. In my view, the greatest responsibility for a parent, other than ensuring that their child is healthy, is to make sure that they get access to the best education that the parents can afford. And I wish more people would take more, well, would take that more seriously than what they do. Gerald, thank you very much for your time this morning and always your sage advice. Have yourself a wonderful festive season. Gerald Mandiambira is a certified financial planner and managing partner at Sugar Creek Wealth.